Hello. Very quick notice before we start the podcast. We've decided to change the name of the podcast from the Collective Podcast to the Statues Podcast to make it easier for people to find us. Another reference that we made within the podcast is about video format for this episode. There was an issue with the video for this episode, so there won't be one for this week, but we'll continue for next week. Thank you. Welcome back to the Statues Podcast. For today's guest, I have my sister Bella, and as co-host, I also have my wife behind the camera. The reason why we actually brought my sister onto today's podcast was because I had some burning questions, but I think as someone that's in the creative field, it's a question that I think other people would like to ask too. Bella actually graduated. You graduated from the early learning program development course and went straight into the creative field. So what program are you in right now?
I'm in the Visual Merchandising Arts program in Conestoga College.
How many years is that?
Two, but I can make it three if I want to do interior decorating as well.
Okay, so a real question that I've had for like the longest time that I've actually just never thought I'd ask, that I think it's now the time to ask, is why? Why that jump?
You know, everyone asks me that question. I honestly don't know. You know, after I graduated my first program, the entire time throughout my first program, I was like so depressed the entire time from start to end, and I never wanted to do it. But the only reason I finished that one was because, like, you know, our parents wanted us to get something, and he said, you know, a degree is better than a diploma. So I got the degree first, and then after that, Dad said I could do whatever I wanted. So I was researching, and honestly, it was really Ryan. This is the one that told me that I was good at writing and drawing and doing all the creative stuff. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not. Because I didn't do any arts or anything in high school. Like, I didn't do anything creative, period, until he told me to take that first step to do it. So I kind of just threw myself in there. I guess my heart felt like I knew that I wanted to be creative. But, like, I've been not creative for, like, a solid 8 years, and then I'm in this program now.
Because that's what confused me, was I had never seen you touch anything in the creative world at all.
That's true.
Like, even after I left, there was no news about you doing anything in the creative freedom like area, like the creative industry. That's why when I heard that you were going back to school for, to be in the creative industry, that was when I was hella confused. Because I had never heard from you that you had interest in it. All I knew was that you had graduated from, like, things to do with children. So that's why I assumed, okay, great. She graduated. Yay, she's going to go find a job with kids.
I think I was very lost. Like, throughout my years in high school and, like, the 4 years in college, I was really lost. And then, but, like, I guess when I met Ryan was the time that I got to, like, really, you know, go explore. And then our parents had to let me go a little bit because I had a boyfriend. And then I honestly don't know what really did it for me that I decided to do visual merchandising arts. I don't know. It was just random jump in there, and I really like it, so I'm staying.
Okay, so what is it that you like about it, though?
I think I feel like I'm myself. Like, when I was in my old program, I was very not myself. I was trying to pretend that, you know, I was really educated and, like, happy, but I was so depressed, and I hated everything about it. I mean, I love the people I met, and I love the children, but it's just really hard feel to stay, like, relevant and understand everything all the time, because everything's always changing in there, and I just felt like I couldn't catch up. But with art, I feel like there's, you know, there's never a wrong answer when you're doing anything with art. So that's what I like. And also it's like, you know, I feel more confident in myself, and like I do see my leadership skills coming out in art, which I don't really use anywhere else. So I do feel confident enough to stay in art. I don't know. And I just love everyone that I meet there. I'm not a social butterfly, but when I'm like with people who do art, I feel like a social butterfly. I feel like I'm in the right place for sure.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Being in the creative industry, me myself, I'm an introvert, but this job makes me that extrovert.
Yeah.
This job puts you out there and you have to constantly meet people. And because if you don't, you don't have connections. You don't have a job. You don't have the next step to walk to. So now the question that I've had is, I know that you're doing like merchandising, like visual merchandising and all that kind of stuff. What specific field, like, because that is such a, it's a broad course, right? You, there are people that do photography. There are people that do videography. There are people that style. Then, you know, what is it that you're leaning towards?
Honestly, I love everything. There's not one thing that I... Okay, well, the one thing I don't like to do is draw and, like, any illustration, because I am not confident enough in those fields. And I can guarantee there's, like, thousands of people who are way better than me. But for everything else, I love everything. Every, like, class that I've taken, I've, like, you know, done really well in, and it was really fun, and I really liked it. So I'm not leaning towards anything in specific at all.
Okay, so more so just dipping your hands in every aspect of it?
Yeah.
Have you... You've only been in it for, what, like a year now?
This is going to be 2 years. This is my second year of college. So 2 years almost.
Being in it for 2 years... Have you already faced any like walls that make you want to deter away from it? Deter away from this industry?
I think I like the challenges, even though I've hit many obstacles and people not liking my work or people not enjoying like, you know, what's happening. I think I take that as a challenge. I don't know. I love taking on challenges in this field. Yeah, if I were to compare it to my old program and I hit every single obstacle in the other program, I did. I wanted to run away and I hated it so much. And that's when I knew I could not do that forever. And that's why me doing art now, I've definitely hit a lot of obstacles, but I don't want to run away. It kind of motivates me more to, you know, move forward or prove people wrong and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I feel that, especially being in the creative industry myself. I think proving people wrong is like that one thing that just keeps you going with this industry. Having been creative for almost like 8 years and then diving into being a creative, wasn't that hard for you? Like, because you're literally coming out of nothing, like creative, you know what I mean? Like you're learning everything from the start. Photoshop, you know, how to even use a computer for that purpose.
It was extremely difficult. I really had a lot of doubts of myself. Like beginning this program, I wasn't creative for a good 8 years. I didn't even know how to turn on a computer. So me being able to use Photoshop, I was like, oh, no, not happening. But yeah, I mean, now I'm like really good at it and I really like doing it. It was really difficult, but you know, I think the thing that made it like survivable was like all the teachers and all of the other like classmates that I've had. You know, I thought I was really the only dumb person in the world that didn't know how to use technology, but the girl beside me didn't know how to turn the computer on either. So that made me feel really leveled out and I was really happy about it. She ended up dropping out of the program, but I'm still here, and all the teachers, like, I really appreciate them a lot, and they've done a lot for me, and they take, like, their time of day to talk to me about, like, myself or, like, what I can do in the future. So it was hard, but I'm really happy that I took that chance to stay. Also, like, you know, my boyfriend.
Yeah.
He, like, really made me stick through it because he knows me more than I know myself. And he said it was, like, the right place for me to go. And I'm really happy that I listened to him because I'm happy now. So.
Yeah, I feel that. Especially being in the creative industry, you're going to hit those. I'm not going to say walls, but you hit certain moments where you start to doubt a lot about yourself. You start to doubt that if this is the right field for you, if you can compete against everyone that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think another question that I've had for quite a bit was, I've been in the creative industry for almost 10 years. So when I was coming up, we were using like rocket launcher cameras, the huge ones with VHS tapes that you had to put on your shoulders. But now you come into a field that is meant for, and I'm not going to say you're old, but you're in that generation where the newer kids, and I'm talking about like 14, 15 year olds, know everything you're doing and mm-hmm. can do that with a phone.
Yeah.
Does that scare you a bit with your job now?
Oh, for sure. Like, definitely. Like, I didn't even know how to turn a computer on until like 2 years ago. And all these 14 and 15 year olds are like doing way better than me. And also the school curriculum just changed in high school, that they learn so much more creative things than like we did in high school. Like, we're learning 3D printing now in college, but they've already learned it in high school. So what's the point of college at this point? Like, you don't need to go to college to be in a creative field, for sure. Which, I mean, I definitely needed to, but high schoolers don't. They're already there. I don't know. I just feel like everyone's different. And I have to be confident in myself, so I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have a purpose, and there's like all these different goals that I want to achieve that are different than other people. So that's definitely the only thing that makes me different from them and me, is my goals, and that's it.
Okay. Because, like, for me, like, even platforms like TikTok, like me watching TikTok, I see these like 12-year-olds, these 14, 15-year-olds. They're coming up with like these, I think they're called like POVs.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watch those are like so perfectly edited. So like the acting might not be on point, but they get the point across.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm watching it as someone who's been in it for a long time and have seen the industry grow, and I see it come up to a point where all it takes is a cell phone now, it makes me worry about my own job, right? But for someone like you, like, if you are as you say, determined and motivated and you have your goals, where do you see yourself going?
Honestly, right now, every time I think about it right now, I can't think about it. Like, I can't even imagine what I'm gonna be doing in 5 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like the world now is so different. It's more about, you know, connections than it is experience, and then when it comes to it, it's more about experience than it is connections. So it's like I just need both at this point, and I don't see myself being anywhere right now other than staying in this field for sure. That's the only thing I know that's going to happen in like 5 years. I'm still going to be in this field. I just don't know where or if I'm even going to be doing anything big.
Has anything piqued your interest? Like, kind of like you want to go and explore this area because it seems a lot more interesting. Like for me, because when I was doing it, music piqued it. That's why I ended up fully developing into my field of work. Has that happened yet for you?
Not at all. I'm just doing everything that I'm told to, and I do it. And then there's nothing that really, like, piques my interest. I just love doing it. I just love doing anything and everything that, like, people tell me to do or any projects I'm getting in class. Like, I love doing all of them. Even though I might hate it in the beginning, as I'm doing it, I just fall in love so much. But other than that, I don't have anything major like that, no, sadly.
Oh, that's okay. I get it, because creative freedom is so... The creative industry and the creative freedom that you have now it grows and grows and grows. And like, there are so many things that I didn't know that was necessary. Like, for example, a lot of businesses now, when they're looking for like marketing interns, the first question that they ask is, do you know about TikTok? Do you know about Instagram? That surprises me. Because, yo, no one used to ask me that question. It was like, where did you graduate from? What did you do? But now it's like, oh, do you know about Instagram? Do you know about TikTok? Do you know about the trends?
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now, like, that right there, it still blows my mind.
It definitely blows my mind.
Because, like, are platforms like that huge for you right now?
Humongous. The only thing I remember in high school and my 4 years of college, my other program, was the one thing you should have never added on your resume was, like, a, you know, the comment about any social media platform. So you're, you know, I'm really good at understanding Instagram or TikTok. But now that's, like, all I can put on my resume mm-hmm. to really get me a job, which was completely different from the education I got way back when. But, I mean, it blows my mind that it's huge, and that's why I think I should have started way earlier for sure. So I'm definitely behind in that.
You know, I think it scares me now because I follow this one creator on Instagram. I can't remember her name, but she's an Asian content creator. And I was following one of her stories, and she said, it's not about the physical resume anymore. It's about Instagram being my resume.
It is. That's what my teacher said.
That was so weird to me. Because the moment she said that, it made me think, like, oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds, yo, they actually have a bigger resume than I do, because you look at their TikToks, you look at their Instagrams, you know, like, their YouTube pages, and it's, they could have, like, 100 views on each one.
Yep.
But, wow. Like, you look at the extent that these kids are going to have that. Now, the one question that I actually have, because you're a little younger than I am, that mm-hmm. I still don't understand this concept, is, are you afraid of, like, numbers? Like, you know, the likes, you know, the followers. Are you afraid of that taking away from your creativity? Driving that creativity a certain way and pushing you away from other things?
I think it definitely, like, helped to figure out where I need to go more on my page. Like, when I used to post art on my page, I would post, like, you know, the drawings, and, you know, like, all the Marvel characters got more likes than everything else. So I started going towards doing more art in, like, the heroic superhero, yeah, whatever. So it definitely paved my way to understanding what people were more interested in on my page. But I guess it didn't really stop me from doing other things. It's just, like, I understand the audience that I have on that page right now is interested in whatever. So I guess I'll just post my older art later at a, you know, a different time. But yes, it definitely affects, like, the likes definitely affect, like, what I will be posting later. And now I just have to understand the trends, which, you know, you get to learn in college and all that stuff. It's really important for sure.
Yeah, that, because, like, as someone, you know, like I've said so many times, I've been in it for so long that I kind of see what the numbers do and what certain things do to a creator. Like, they lose their passion and they lose that drive because they follow the numbers and they follow the likes. Like, for me, like, when I got my first deal, my first record deal, that's why I stopped writing. Because when I got it, like, it was like I had nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
I had already come up with 5 songs, and that's what the manager was like, okay, great, like, you have it. I had already signed, I think it was a Sony distribution deal. Everything was going great, but everything stopped because I was only making content that people wanted me to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that I see that kids and people and new creators and new and new people that are coming into this industry, they're following that. They're following those exact footsteps where it's like, oh, I'm getting likes on this picture, but I'm not getting likes on this picture. Then I'm going to do more content like this. I think that's what scares me most about being a content creator and being a creator myself. And I see, like, now that you're starting to focus more on building your resume, your digital resume.
Mm-hmm.
Are there things in the back of your head that, like, oh, I can't do this kind of stuff? I can't post this kind of stuff because it's not going to help my resume?
I think the thing I only think about is if it reflects what I want it to reflect. If I take a picture and it doesn't reflect what I want it to reflect, I'm not going to post it and I'm just going to delete it, because I feel like with my goal and my certain brand, I want it to follow, like, a certain understanding. So that, you know, when I post it, people will look at it and, like, have that certain idea of me rather than, like, what they can actually see. Like, I want them to see a fake image kind of idea. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's not a fake image. It's my goal that I want to last, like, forever. Even if it's, like, broad goal, it's still a goal that I, you know, I want them to see. But, I mean, it doesn't really stop me from, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of just going with the flow right now because I'm just starting out. So I'm very open and I definitely, you know, touch upon everything. But I guess that's a problem because it's too broad. So, yes.
I mean, like, being broad is good, especially when you're starting out, because it allows you to explore certain fields that most people wouldn't explore. Like, most people, if they find their niche, they stay with that niche, and then after that niche dries out for them, that's it for them. But at least with you, if you're exploring every field, you know, you're doing, you know, graphic design, and you're doing photography, and you're doing, you know, other work, that it allows for you to see certain things. Because I was saying in the last episode of the the last episode that we did was, my job as a CEO, I'm not just a CEO, but I'm everything. I'm the graphic designer, I'm the videographer, I'm the editor, I'm the photographer. Is that what you plan on doing too?
I think in a sense, I've, like, come to realize that every time I talk with, like, my friends and stuff, they have, like, a certain one.
Yeah.
One field that they're like, oh, I definitely want to go into styling. I definitely want to go into fashion designing or photography. I love everything, so I want to do it all. And there's no one job out there that I can do all of that, other than if I work by myself and do it by myself. And, I mean, I'm scared to have to do work by myself and stuff like that. But, I mean, right now, I feel like I'm going towards just possibly, like, even doing my own brand or, like, figuring things out for myself and, you know, making my own path by my, like, in my own way and not working under somebody. But I don't know yet because I'm not graduated yet and I still have, like, 2 months to think about it. 2 months is a very short time.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 months. It's going to come up real quick.
It is. It's a very short time and I'm starting to freak out about it. But I mean, I'm getting there.
After graduation, I think it's going to hit even harder for you about where and what you want to do. Because, you know, I see a lot of new creators come out of college or start and they're super confident. But as the time goes on, they start to lose that confidence. What is something that you can pride yourself over that will keep you going?
I'm a very go with the flow, laid back kind of lady. So, like, I already, like, every time I talk about it, I just feel like I can never really be demotivated, but at the same time, I can never really be motivated. Like, right now, I'm not really motivated, but I am super motivated to, like, stay in this field. So I think right now, the only thing I can pride myself in is just, like, I genuinely work really hard. And regardless if someone doesn't like me or not, I work hard enough for the person to eventually always like me. With every single job that I've worked, even at the daycare, it was like, every time I went there, people didn't like me because I was new or because I had a different mindset and whatever. But I would always work extremely hard that in the end, everyone always depended on me and everybody knew that I was an asset to the team and they would always call me back. So, I mean, genuinely, I think the only thing that I can take pride in is that I work extremely hard for things that I want. Like, if I have my mindset on it, I'm definitely going to get it. That's it. I'm definitely going to get my goal accomplished.
Yeah, that's straight shooting. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that straight shooting mentality is something that a lot of kids don't have nowadays. Because, like, they'll say, oh, I want it. But then the moment they get rejected once, the moment they get rejected twice, three times, four times, five times, mm-hmm. it starts to chip away at them. And then they start to be like, should I keep doing this? Should I just go and do something else, you know? And I think as someone in the creative industry, the hardest part is keeping motivated to keep going. Because mm-hmm. like, it's like I said, like I used to watch... I used to watch videos like Wong Fu and I used to watch those guys where their production was, to me, it looked huge, but then when you watch the behind the scenes, it's not as huge as everyone makes it out to be.
Yeah.
But then you watch these TikTok POVs and the numbers that they get compared to numbers like productions like Wong Fu and productions like Jubilee and those guys, that's what scares me, is that the numbers don't add up. And for people like us, the numbers do matter. No matter yeah. what people say, the numbers do matter. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps us alive, you know? Keeps us from starving.
Yeah.
With things like TikTok and like platforms that will come out eventually, do you find it, like, as someone your age and as someone coming out of college soon, do you find it scary that you'll have to continuously keep up to the standard of these kids and the platforms that they use, the trends that they have?
I don't find it scary. I think I find it, like, more exciting. Like, I love keeping up with the trends. Like, every single time we... like, every single time I do anything, I do a lot of research before I even do it so that I know, like, the reason why I'm doing it is because of this, 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 this. Like, for TikTok and stuff like that, I love keeping up with all the trends and things because it's interesting to see and compare with, like, my life and then someone else's life. Like, obviously, when we were 13 years old, it was a completely different story yeah. than the 13-year-olds now. I mean, I think it's super interesting, and I don't know. I love it. I love the change and I love meeting new people. So even talking to like teenagers now, it's a very different experience than talking to a 13-year-old like 3 years ago. So I find it really interesting. I don't really find it scary. The only thing I find scary is that they learn faster than we do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, I have to work hard to keep up with you. Yeah. But I mean, that's the only thing I find scary.
I think now that platforms like TikTok and platforms like Instagram have become something so important to the creators, is there a way, like, I always think about how I'm going to be different from everyone. Okay, it's a constant thing that I think about. No matter what, I'm sleeping, I'm just laying down. It's something that I have to think about because mm-hmm. if I don't, there's always going to be someone better, someone that can do my job better than I can. Does that ever come up to your thought process as well? Like, that someone is just as motivated as you are. And the job that you're looking to apply for, they could apply for it too.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, meeting all these people in their creative field already, it's like, oh, damn, you know, you either have so much more experiences or so much more connections or so much more motivation than I do and so much creativeness to you that I don't have. But I feel like me being me and like really laid back, I'm just very like confident in the things that I've done so far and the things that I can do for them. Like, if I know I'm not a good fit for them, I'm not even gonna try. Because I don't want their business to fail because of me. But if I feel like I'm, like, right for you and I can help you, then I will, like, fight my way to, you know, help you out. But I definitely do understand that there's so much more creative people out there. I just have to, like, have confidence in myself and, like, the work that I do for sure. Because even though there's so much more people out there, the only thing that makes me different from others is me. Like, my experiences or, like, just my personality and everything that I do or the research that I've done. Because, you know, a lot of people, like, a lot of younger kids kind of just go do it without doing their research. You know, they kind of just like, oh, you know, it seems like it'll look like fun, but you have to think about, okay, what would other people think about it? You know, for the one project that I did in school, people wanted to do like a, you know, the ASL water bucket.
Oh yeah.
Challenge. They wanted to do that with Kraft dinner. And I was like, no, you can't do that because it's about food waste. You have to think that people are not going to like the food waste. You know, because it's always a thing for environmental change, whatever. It's not going to be healthy for the environment if we have Kraft dinner on the lawn. It's going to, you know, whatever. So, I mean, I definitely do think more outside the box than I do inside the box. And I feel like that's the reason that makes me different from other people. Because, you know, people always forget about other perspectives in the world. But I think because we grew up with, you know, our father... And, like, you know, in our school, it was so diverse.
Yeah.
Compared to other schools.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly, I think that had a very big contributing factor, because when I first started dating Crystal, that was when my world blew up.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what Lululemon was. I had no idea what Aritzia was.
Me too.
I didn't even know what Coach was.
Me neither.
Because... Mom and dad weren't people like that. And Mm-mm. The people that we grew around, like, we went to such a diverse school. There were Blacks, Hispanics, Vietnamese. We had, you know, like, it was so diverse. Like, I even asked Crystal, like, do you know what a Serbian is? She was like, I had no idea.
Oh, my goodness. That's mind-blowing to me.
You know, we went to school with all these type of people. And it was so diverse that it changes that mindset for you to also understand, like, there are certain things that you can't say. There are certain things mm-hmm. that it doesn't fly in that kind of a community.
Yeah.
And I think that's what kids nowadays, they don't have. Because, like, even for us when we grew up, we would go play volleyball at the school grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be, like, random kids that come by and like, can I play with you guys? Yeah, come by, play.
Yep.
And we would play with random, like, Muslim kids, random Black kids, random white kids. But, like, nowadays, I don't see that. Nowadays, it's kind of just like, you got your own clique, I'm a chill with my own clique.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that mentality that we grew up with also attributed to why we think the way we do towards our career.
I think it definitely hit me when I went to high school, because... Yeah, when we went to our elementary school, it was, like, the minimum amount of, like, white kids in our class was, like, maybe 5. But when I went to high school, it was, like, I was the only Asian person, including, like, me and my friend. We were the only Asian person in our year. And I was, like, whoa, like, this is so different. And nobody could relate to me, and I couldn't talk to anybody. And they were all talking about all these name brand stuff and all these TV shows, and I was, like... The one kid asked me, he's like, do you know what Jersey Shore is? And I was like, oh, where is that? Because Shore is a freaking, you know, I was like, I don't know where that is. And they laughed at me. They're like, oh, my God, it's a TV show. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
Like, we never played games. We don't watch TV. Like, name brand. I only knew about it when Ryan came in the picture.
Yep. It's our partners that expose us
exactly.
to the outside world.
We thinking you live in a closet.
We thought you lived in a closet, okay? We grew up and it was kind of just like, because we grew up so diverse,
mm-hmm.
it helped shape the mentality that we have. Because people, when they say, oh, they got bullied, I'm like, yeah, okay, I did too, but I got bullied by the Asian kid.
That's not what I'm saying.
I wasn't bullied by the Black kid, or I wasn't bullied by the white kid. Yeah, I was friends with the white kid. I was friends with the Black kid.
Yeah, it's different. We got different.
And that's what is crazy, because it's like, yo, I would show up at school 30 minutes early and play with the Black kids. I'd play basketball with the Black kids. But then when it came down to it, and then, like, I say it all the time, it's like, oh, I got bullied as a kid by the Asian kid. And it wasn't the strong, muscular Asian kid. It was like the chubby Asian kid.
Stereotypes, Joe, just out the door.
Because it's like, you don't hear that nowadays. You don't hear that kind of stuff nowadays. Nowadays, it's like, oh, a black beating up this or a white beating up this. And I think that's what's scary to me is that that's how much has changed in less than what? Like, I'm only 28. You're only, what, 24. Yeah, 24?
Yeah, I'm turning 24 this year. Yes. Yeah.
And we're still young compared to people. Like, we're still young, okay? People still say that we're still young. So to think the difference between when I was 13 and someone that is 13 now is a total flip. Mm-hmm. I think that's what scares me about this world, and that's what scares me about having kids.
Yeah.
Is that, like, even the area that we live in here, I love this area because it's so diverse. Mm-hmm. I see black kids playing with Muslims and white kids and the Asian kids here. But then when I was living in Mississauga, I didn't see anything like that.
Damn, that's sad.
Like, when we would go pick up, like, when we would go pick up Kimmy from school, it was just like, oh, the white girls are sat over there, and you could tell, like, oh, it was like sectioned by class, because it was like, oh, these type of people with this kind of money, you could tell that these kids, they come from that kind of money. Mm-hmm. And then those kids, they come from poorer money.
Yeah.
And then to me, that process didn't hit me, because it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah, we just hung out with anyone. We just hung out with
anyone. Because everyone to me was broke. You know? And I think nowadays, that's what people lose is that personality. Their own personality.
Yeah.
Because we grew up with personality.
I agree.
I'm not saying that kids don't grow up with personality now, but I'm saying that their personality is a very selfish thought.
Or it's like an image that they have to fit into. So that's what they become.
Because, like, when you think about it, we grew up thinking about, like, for example, like your project, throwing, you know, like macaroni on the floor. You think about certain things that, oh, most people wouldn't think like that. Mm-hmm. They're just thinking, it's for a project. Let's just do it that way. But even like last podcast, when I was talking about my company and how I run my company like a family, because I grew up with with our cousins and the older cousins listening to YG Family and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So our mentality is flipped because growing up, that's how we grew up. It was a family, but that family didn't have to be full Asians. That family didn't have to be like this and like that. It was like, I think that's why I'm so grateful for growing up in, I don't want to say a poor neighborhood, but like a super diverse, and people didn't care about money. Mm-hmm. Like, what people cared about more was, like, yo, don't screw with my people. And that's what I saw. It was like, and I think, like, Serbians do that a lot. Is like, yo, you screw with someone, we'll take you out. And, like, the blacks in our community, it was like, this section you don't mess with. That section you don't mess with. We don't mess with these. But nowadays, like, I don't see that kind, you know? Like, it's not very personal anymore. It's more so the image of what they're telling us that we have to be, that's what we have to be.
Yeah, that's definitely how it is. I mean, me going to high school, it was already like that. Mm-hmm. But I clearly didn't care much. I definitely did not fall into that certain image that everyone wanted me to fall into. Or even as like the Asian girl, it was like, I don't think anyone really cared that I existed, to be honest. So, I mean, I was thankful to that sense that I didn't have to work hard to be that spitting image that everyone expected me to be. But also, I wasn't really a nice kid in high school, so.
Yeah. No, I think, like, that's what is, and, like, what people listening won't understand is that our elementary school wasn't far from our high school. Mm-mm. It was not far at all. You could walk there, okay? It wasn't that far. But it was literally a very big difference in communities.
Yeah.
Because where our elementary was very close to our school. But even, like, no matter how many times I hear people, like, call our area ghetto, I'm like, yo, I feel more safe here.
For sure.
Because if something happens to my parents or something happens to kids that like play in that area, you know that someone in that neighborhood is watching.
Yeah.
And you'll be okay. But like when I went to Mississauga, that was different. It was like you see kids and they don't walk off their driveway. You know how we used to ride bikes and you could ride
onto someone? We would go everywhere. Yeah,
you'd ride onto someone's driveway and you'd loop back. Mm-mm. I didn't see that.
That's sad.
Because it was like grumpy people like, yo, don't walk on my lawn. Don't do that. Don't do this.
We definitely had those people on our street, but we never paid attention. We would just do it anyways.
Yeah, and it's like, I think that's what I was very happy for growing up in the area that we did. Because mm-hmm. everything that we grew up with ended up becoming a part of our personality.
Yeah, and, for sure.
And representing us when we went to go into our careers.
I'm going to have to agree.
Yeah, see? Because I think being in Mississauga for, how long was I there?
4 years.
4 years?
Really? I thought it was way longer.
I thought so too. I thought it was at least 5 or 6, but. But yeah, I think I might be like 4 or 5 years there.
Are you sure? I was right? Like, I don't know, because you weren't there when I was graduated mm-mm. high school.
No.
And you weren't there my whole life in 4 years of college. It was definitely more than 4 years.
That's what I thought. Because I missed out her entire college.
You missed out my entire college and like the half of high my high school. Yeah.
No, you moved in with us. Like, you moved to Mississauga my first year of college.
Oh yeah, I remember that because it was the first day of college for her when I moved in.
Mm-hmm. What? And then you left the same time that the rest of like my class of like people that went to university
graduated.
4 years. That's 4 years. We left that year.
That is so weird.
Yeah. But the point of that was that being in Mississauga, I could see the difference. Mm-hmm. Like a huge difference. Class played a big part of it. Social status played a big part of it. People's, like, even looking at younger kids, the way they thought it was very different. And I couldn't grasp how they thought. It was like, I'm friends with you because you benefit me.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird. Honestly, that was like me and my... Okay, I think I, like, me being my first program for the 4 years, there was, like, no diversity there. It was a really small class. It was, like, 12 girls in one class for a whole 4 years. It got smaller and smaller as the years went by. But it was very different in the sense where it's, like, we had the white girls who've never seen any color before. So when they came, they're like, oh, my God, you're my first Asian friend. I'm like... This is weird. Like, I grew up with color.
Yeah.
And you're making it awkward for me to be friends with you as a colored person. Mm-hmm. Like, in a sense, it's like me not seeing color. It's like, no, I do see color. And I love the diversity. But with her, it was just, like, really awkward. And, you know, being open with somebody who's being awkward about me being colored was really awkward. Can't do it. Won't do it ever again.
And I think now that we're respectively in our careers and choosing our careers, everything about us growing up and coming from where we came from plays a huge part in how we as people also think. Because now, like, you hear so much about these YouTubers and these TikTokers that say stupid stuff and post it without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, for example, like, we grew up in a neighborhood where the derogatory term for black people was used everywhere.
Yeah.
The Asians used it, you know, like the white guys that were hung out with these guys used it.
Yeah.
But then you walk outside of that and it's like, yo, you can't use that word.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, that's weird. But that plays a big part into how we grew up, because I also realized that, yo, yes, you shouldn't use that word, but the closeness between your peers at that time were a lot more close than we thought it was back then.
Yep.
Because now I look at it and it's like, a lot of the people that I hung out with as kids, yo, we were actually really close thinking about it now. You know, like, I reached out to a lot of my elementary schools and my high school friends, and now we talk. But I can't do that with people that I met in Mississauga, mm-hmm. because we don't have that connection anymore. Mm-hmm. That connection is different. But that connection, too, is like why I think why my business always stands up when it falls. Because mm-hmm. I've had my business fall a couple times. But the reason why I think it sustains itself is because the mentality that I bring in and people bring in as well is like how when we grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone knows them, each other. Like, everyone knows who they are. And even if they don't, and as they learn about themselves, they bring those attributes to the company and to their work.
I think it's, like, for your age group, it's, yeah. like, easier to find those people. Like, my age group, it's hard to find people who have, like, nearly the same mentality as me or, like, the same understanding in like what generation I'm in, I'm guessing, because like everyone in my year is either like super old fashioned in a sense, old fashioned like us, or like super like current, relevant, and like, you know, it's just friends for, you know, yeah, like yeah. if you help me out, I'll help you out friendship, yeah. not a friendship that's actually like a friendship. It's hard to find those these days. And my age group is just like nearly impossible. And I feel like me being like old in my program is like makes it more difficult for me to like reach out to them because they're way younger and I think they expect something from me, but I don't expect anything from you as a friend.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some of my friends have said, like, you know, friendships are transactions. I'm like, in a sense, I'll agree with you that it's a transaction because I expect you to respect me if I respect you.
Yeah.
But I feel like their transaction term means like, if you help me out with a project once, I'll help you.
Yeah. I don't expect that. It's like a piggy bank, you know? Like they expect to put one thing in and they expect something out at the end of it. I think for me, being older, because I work with a lot of younger people. Like, a lot, like, throughout my career, I've actually never worked with anyone my age. And if I have, it was like right at the beginning of my career. But throughout my entire career, I've always worked with people younger than me. Mm-hmm. But I found it a lot easier to work with people a lot younger than me because I think the mentality is different. Because mm-hmm. when they speak about something and then I speak about what they're speaking, they see it from a different view and they're like, oh, he knows a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what different, that's what's like different now is that today's generation is like, they don't do that. They're like, the way I think is right, the way you think is wrong. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the people that I've met up till now have not been like that. And I look for people like that where it's like, yo, I might not say what's right, but my peer, if he says something and I'm like, yo, wow, okay, I didn't look at it that way, that you're right. Nowadays, I don't see that. Nowadays, it's like, especially with all like the YouTubers and like TikToks and all and Instagram and like them making everything so public, I don't see that anymore. Where it's like, no, you know, maybe you're right. It like Crystal and I, we were talking about it the last podcast, was cancel culture.
Yeah,
I hate cancel culture.
It's just like, it's like everyone jumps on the bandwagon and nobody like really understands what's going on, and they only do it because the clout follows, or like, you know, it's a popular trend. And it's like, do you really understand what you're talking about or like what's happening? I think it's dumb too.
Like, I've seen like there's this whole TikTok account, they almost do like what Anonymous does. Mm-hmm. But what they do is they find these people and they blast, they put them up on blast. This is their social, these are their social media accounts. This is the school that they go to. This is where they live. This is who their mom is. This is who their dog is. Mm-hmm. And I think doing that is even more dangerous than just having a simple conversation. Like, hey, maybe your opinion or maybe what you say isn't right. Cause like, yo, I get it. everything is a, like, some of these kids, like, what they have to say is really stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen some kid, like, full on, like, oh, you know, like, ching chong this. And it's like, bro. Like.
You can't do that.
Like, but also, I kind of understand it because we grew up in a neighborhood where
it was normal.
It was normal. It was so diverse that it's like.
We weren't offending each other at that time.
And I'm not saying that, like, it's normal. What I'm saying is that in different communities, it's different.
Yeah, for sure.
Because now I see it. Like, if I were to say it to people in Mississauga, yo, it would come off just offensive as hell.
Yep.
But if you were to say it to, like, kids in our neighborhood, it's like, and they knew that you grew up in that neighborhood, it wouldn't matter much. It's just like, oh, this kid grew up here. Like, that's kind of how everyone is. You know, like, we had, like, I'm not saying it's right, but we had kids with turbans and, like, yo, kids walking around making fun of them all the time. But those kids that had turbans that were being made fun of also weren't soft. They'd fuck around with everyone too.
Yeah, it was like, nothing was ever taken seriously. Yeah. Like, we were all really close in that sense. Like, obviously, if someone got offended, it would get really serious. And everyone would then know, okay, let's not do that with this person. We're not doing it or something.
Yeah. And I think, like, now with, like, TikTok and those platforms, it's like, yo, some of these kids, they might have grown up in our communities. I'm not saying that I do or I don't know. Mm-hmm. But when you post it on a public platform, it's different.
They didn't understand the consequences.
Yeah. And I think that's what I'm super grateful for growing up in our kind of community, is where I take the good and I leave the bad, and I'll use the good to build a structure for my company, for teaching kids. Because a lot of what I teach kids is like, look, I'm not, like, I always say to kids is, I hear so many of the people that I work with say, oh my gosh, like, you're such a good guy. Everything that you do is for a great cause. No, don't get it wrong. When I first started, it was about the money. It was about people recognizing me. Mm-hmm. Don't get it wrong. I'm not a good guy. But what I'm saying is that if you go and you cancel me for how I was, how do you expect anyone to grow?
What I'm saying, cancel culture, like, that, it's like, okay, I understand that that's what they said, like, 3,000 years ago, but, like, yeah, if you want people to change, you can't hold on to something in the past and then drag them down just because of what happened in the past. Like, you expect development, you know, when you're 3 years old and you're 13, you expect to be different. Same thing as, you know, if you're 10 and 20, I expect you to be different when you're 20, because you know, go through more experiences, you talk to more people, you have to understand, you know, different perspectives and communities and cultures. Like, you know, some people weren't exposed to culture, which I understand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm very happy to the people who are, like, come up to me and ask questions rather than just, like, assume. Like, I'm more open to people asking me questions. Even if it sounds racist at the time, I will still take them and be like, you know, thanks for asking. Like, let me answer your questions for you. But if you just assume, like, what most kids are doing now because they think it's okay to assume with stereotypes and stuff, you're just gonna have to deal with the consequences, because that's the internet.
Yeah. Because, like, I don't agree with cancel culture. And, like, I'm very adamant about this topic because I work in the entertainment field. Mm-hmm. Cancel culture is the end of your career at that point.
Yeah.
The moment you get canceled, you ain't got no career in entertainment. You ain't got no future at all. You put everything down and that's it.
For real.
And I hate that. That right there, I hate that. Because people grow. You have to understand that what entertainment is it's a capture of a moment. And that moment is where you are right now. And you could be a kid right now. And I always say that. It's like, look, I was a kid, even at 22, I was a kid. 23, you're still a kid. Mm-hmm. Your mentality hasn't changed yet. So every stupid thing that you've done up until then, I don't mind if people check you and say to you, hey, that's not right. Or what you said isn't right. Okay, let me think about it. give me time to think about it. Let me process that thought. And then afterwards, it's like, okay, yeah, I wasn't right. And I get that some people might not go through that and they got to get checked a couple times. But it's the same thing as like, I always make this reference. It's like football. It's like tackle football. You get tackled once. You get tackled twice. You get tackled three times. I guarantee by the fourth time, you're going to know exactly how not to get tackled. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing, like, especially with creating entertainment field. I hate that kind of stuff. And like, and the reason why I bring it up is because like, I see it happening everywhere now. It's for clout now. It's not for the reason of checking people for culture reasons, checking mm-hmm. people for morality reasons. It's checking people because that's going to get you like 1,000 likes, 200,000 likes. It's no longer about the moralities, the ethics of it anymore. When we grew up, it that's what I loved about growing up in such a diverse neighborhood was like, we grew up with like black kids that checked us if we ever said something. Mm-hmm. You know, like we had white kids walking around saying the N word to like these black kids, and like these black kids just look around and be like, yo, don't say that. All right.
Yeah.
You're done. But now it's like action before anything else.
Yeah.
I'm either going to beat you here or I'm going to put you out on blast and then that's it. But being someone like growing up like how we did, I think it helped teach us that in different communities, people think differently too.
Yeah.
Because even if I'm Asian and I go like when I went to Mississauga and like meeting Crystal and her sister for the first time, that was different to me because I was Asian, born this way, and they were Asian too, but they were influenced by the white kids that they grew up with. Mm-hmm. And that was different to me.
Yeah.
I'd had no concept of Asian people growing up differently.
Yeah, I think we were very sheltered in that way where like I literally learned that not everyone eats rice in high school. Like in high school when I was eating rice, everyone's like, oh my God, you're eating rice. I'm like, do you guys not eat rice every day? And they're like, no. I'm like, what? That blew my mind. High school literally blew my mind. High school was like the first day of high school was like my epiphany of like, damn, there's so much I don't know about the world. Because mm-hmm. I thought being diverse in like where we went to elementary school was good enough to understand all these different kinds of people. But I guess there's all these different other kinds of people that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there, like even growing up, like when we would bring lunch, it would be like hot dogs and rice. Yo, kids would make fun of you for that. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the kid next to you and this kid's just eating bread.
Yeah, I'm not a bread person, man.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like you kind of understood the community and the people within that community and how each member of that community was. But nowadays with platforms making it so accessible for communities to reach over to other communities is different. It becomes a more sensitive topic. And I think like it becomes dangerous. It's a very dangerous game to be playing.
I think it is. It's like everything now is a sensitive topic, which I agree that some should be. Yeah. And then some is just like, okay, now you're just overthinking it too much, or y'all are just like, you know, it's just impossible to be right at this time. Like everyone has different opinions, everyone has different experiences. I just feel like understanding the differences together with everybody would make more sense, but people just keep fighting each other on each other's experiences and facts, and yep. It's like, what's the point of this, you know, social media platforms if we're not gonna do it in a nice way?
Yep.
But I guess it's just cancel culture and fighting is like such a trend now. Yep. To find people and, you know, like you said, put them on blast.
No, like I think it becomes it becomes a very toxic thing to creator content, content creators and people in the entertainment industry, because even celebrities go through this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's, and like when you think about it, it's like, man, like these guys, they're making like billions, they're like world class name, and they're still being canceled for it. So what happens if you get a job and you work for someone that, you know, is really just doesn't understand a concept and then gets shut down for it? You lose your job too.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's what some people don't understand, and some people are just oblivious to, is the many lives that you affect when you don't think. Because kids don't think. I don't mean to call kids kids. I just say kids because I see, like, when I'm on TikTok, you know, I hear kids say it all the time, like, oh, Instagram, TikTok, it's so bad for kids. It's so bad for this and that. Oh, your mental health. I don't think you're using it for the right reasons, because when I'm on TikTok, I'm thoroughly enjoying my time.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm scrolling, I'm enjoying my time, I'm laughing. Like, and then there are things that, yeah, I come across and I'm like, oh, man, like, seriously?
But I think we grew up in a very, like, different relationship, like, or a generation, because obviously, like, every teenager now, it's like they grew up with Instagram and Instagram being such a huge thing and a huge part of the life, that it's like Instagram really is like a part of their life, that if something bad goes on Instagram, then they're definitely gonna have a panic attack. With us, it's like, oh, Instagram's just there, like, we didn't grow up with that, so it's not as important to us as it is to them. Kind of like, I was talking to my friend the other day and she goes, I don't have a Facebook. I'm like, girl, how old am I that you don't have a Facebook? I was like, okay, never mind. That just made me sad when she said she didn't have a Facebook. I was confused.
Oh yeah, no, like, and that goes with Kimmy. So Kimmy is Crystal's sister. We are 10 years me and Kimmy, we're 10 years apart. Oh, I'm 92, she's 02.
She's 02. Wait, yeah. How old is she?
She's 18 right now.
Oh my god, okay. My friend's the same age as her.
That right there is like a huge generation gap, and I see it when we talk.
Yeah, she doesn't have Facebook. She thinks Facebook is weird.
She thinks Facebook is for old people.
I'm old people.
I use Facebook every day.
Me too.
That's how we connect with friends. And she's like, why do you have Facebook? Just use like LinkedIn or just use Instagram. But like, that's how we connect with, you know, our aunts and uncles. That's just
because, like,
it's
now
a news outlet, to be honest. Yeah,
that's where I get all my news. That's where, exactly, like a news about like family that like we don't talk to from the States. It's like, oh, that's what's happening. Cool. Oh, that person got married. Cool.
That makes me sad.
Yeah, and like it makes me feel so weird when I hear, like, it's just like when you think of 10 years, it doesn't really hit me that hard, that's a huge generation gap.
That is huge.
Like, even between me and Yang, when we talk sometimes, I realize there's a generation gap.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up in 92, but I grew up with like the older, our older cousins. So when they do it, they fall into the 80s, the mid 80s to late 80s. When they talk, I understand it, but then Yang doesn't, and he doesn't he can't converse.
Oh yeah, Yang, yeah.
Yeah, like he doesn't converse properly.
Yeah, he's very, like, Yang is a very young soul, and he can talk to like anybody young, but anybody old is like, yeah, pass on that responsibility.
Yeah. And that's what makes me like realize certain things, like,
you get old.
Seriously. I graduated almost 10 years ago. I graduated in 2012 from college.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
High school was 2010.
I was going to say. That's sad. That's a long time ago. Damn, son.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this, like, generation gap is huge. And like, now that I think about it, like, you have the Gen X, Gen Zs, and the millennials and whatnot. The way they view certain things, too. Like, I saw this thing on TikTok. We do this for cell phone, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what they do?
Why?
Because
it's iPhones. They're flat. They've you never, know how when we used to pick up a phone, it used to be the corded ones?
I would say, like, call me.
Yeah, call me. But I found out that kids are growing up and they're doing call me.
You should see the photo ones. We're doing this and they're doing this. I'm like, bruh, I'm old as hell if y'all start doing that now.
And that's why, like, TikTok does that is they let me see how old I am.
Stab me in the heart.
I actually enjoy TikTok. Okay, like I don't really take it seriously like how everyone else does. Where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, it's a mental struggle. It's this and that. If you don't, like, my advice to everyone listening and is thinking that is, you're taking that platform a little too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Post what you want to post. Watch what you want to watch, and if you don't want to watch certain things, you can just scroll up. That's how fast it is. Just scroll up. My attention span is less than 5 seconds, so if I don't like something in 5 seconds, I scroll.
I'm going to have to agree with you. Or the TikTok videos that were like, don't scroll. I'm like, okay, I'm scrolling.
Yeah. Because there are like TikToks where they'd like get down and like dirty with like talking about like social stuff. Like social things that are happening in the world. I'm like, not my thing. And like, you know, there are things that like you hear about Black Lives Matter and all the Asian abuse that's happening in the world. If there are days where I don't want to watch any of it, I'll just keep scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays I feel like kids don't know how to do that. When they do it, they have to watch it and they have to immerse themselves in it and be like, have to have an opinion about it. Not having an opinion is the best way to just not have mental problems.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I feel bad. And I will always contribute my best to helping the way I can. But there is only so much one person can do, and you can only do what you can do. But sometimes, like, I hear so many kids on TikTok have an opinion, and then they get canceled for that opinion. That's why sometimes you don't really need to say anything. There are people that have better opinions and better way of formulating those opinions. That's the thing is, like, can you formulate your opinions properly?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't and you say something wrong, it could just be one word, you're done for. That's the dangerous part about being in entertainment and being a creator. One word, and you're like done with your life.
I guess people just aren't as forgiving. Like,
I think that and they clout chase too much.
Yeah, I think they just like to find people to hate on so they can get like famous off of it. It's such a annoying thing that's happening now, I guess.
It's a concept that I will never understand. This clout chasing stuff. Well, I think we're over an hour now. So, thank you for coming out to this podcast and talking about your job and talking about everything that we talked about on this podcast. I think we're going to cut the podcast here. Thank you for all the listeners. Thank you for listening and chiming in. We're doing a whole new thing with a video too, so you'll see that up on YouTube. And we'll see you guys next time. Thank you.